Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for checking out another edition of Dead End Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide. I am your host, 12 Kyle. We want to thank you again for checking us out. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the Dead End Sports podcast. We have a weekly podcast where we cover a myriad of sports topics. And we want to thank you all for checking us out. You can follow us on all social media accounts. We're on Facebook, on Twitter, at Dead End Sports, Instagram, you name it, we're there. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dead End Sports. Again, I am the host, 12 Kyle. Of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are the homies. First up, my man, BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up, though, brother Kyle? What's up? What's going on?
Man, can't call it, man. Can't call it. Yeah, keep him crying around here.
Yeah, you know how it is. I'm up here. It's rivalry week in college basketball, so I've been locked in like all week.
Okay.
And right now is Michigan State and Michigan playing right now. So, you know, I'm like, Spartan. beat Michigan. Let's go Spartans. And Duke and North Carolina playing Thursday night. So that's gonna be a good one. So Kansas State game was on yesterday. That was crazy. So, yeah, I love rivalry week in college basketball. I love it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good thing, because with the NFL being over, we got a chance to kind of, you know, direct our focus to NCAA
and Big Dance.
Before you know it, man, it's March Madness, and we're filling our brackets again.
Yeah.
Also, join us, the homie Ken. Ken, what's going on, Playboy?
I'm here, man. I don't even want to do this damn show.
Hey, man, we're professionals. That's what we are. We're professionals. So we're gonna get it done. But I got some profound statements to make. Of course, the other partner, FIFO, he'll be joining us momentarily. Again, this is the place where sports opinions collide. You are listening to the Dead End Sports podcast. All right, man. So here we go. Obviously, the Super Bowl is over. Super Bowl 51. We were treated to the first Super Bowl to ever go into overtime. The New England Patriots win it 34-28. That was the final score. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady win their fifth Super Bowl ring. So I start right there. Just give me your overall thoughts on the game. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk about, you know, who may have caused this loss. But first and foremost, man, give me your overall thoughts on the game.
Because my Lions never play in it. So usually when it comes to Super Bowls, I'm always with the hope of let us enjoy a good game and let us enjoy it. Cause you know, it's been a couple of Super Bowls where, you know, folks check out by the third quarter, you know, because the teams just are not, you know, or we watch the whole game and be like, wow, that was a dud. That was a terrible way to finish the NFL season. But every year I always go into Super Bowl wishing, you know, that we have a game that keep me on the edge of my seat. And this game definitely kept me on the edge of my seat. And it's amazing that out of all the 51 Super Bowls, we never had a Super Bowl that went overtime before. So, yeah, that's crazy that was the first time ever in history that a Super Bowl went to overtime. So, I thought the game was exciting. I mean, you know, it was a freaking roller coaster like no other. You know, so, but yeah, I thought overall, man, it was a great game. I was happy with a great way to put an exclamation point on the NFL season as a whole.
There it is. That's a good way of putting it. What about you, Ken? Overall, man, your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
I wasn't happy with any of it, mainly because of the outcome. You know, I was there, and you know what? I should have stayed at home, and that was really the thing. I started to just stay at home, but my family have a lot of Atlanta Falcon fans. Like, they were born in the state, live in Atlanta. Like, they're fans every single year, season ticket holders. So the party that we were at was my uncle-in-law, big time season holders, Atlanta Falcon fans. So I was like, you know what? And normally my father-in-law, they normally do the Super Bowl every year. This year they didn't. So it felt poetic that we were having a Super Bowl party at his house because he's a diehard fan. I got to tell you, man, the way that room was deflated, no pun intended.
No pun intended. Right.
It was very depressing, man. It was very sad. I didn't really have a dog in the fight other than wishing to, or hoping to see the joy on their faces from seeing the Falcons win a Super Bowl. And for them to lose that way, it was rough. It was rough, man, because I really felt bad for them. I felt bad for the city. And it wasn't me. I didn't really care. I mean, it would have been nice to see the Falcons complete the cycle, the Cubs, the Cavs, and then the Falcons. That would have been nice. But I really have a dog in the fight. I made peace with Brady being the greatest of all time, according to a lot of people, because that's all they talked about 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. They already said he's the greatest of all time. So I already made peace with that. I made peace with the Patriot win. So I was fine. What I wasn't prepared for was for the game to go down that way and for the Falcons to lose the way they lost that Super Bowl. And to be in that room and just the way that room felt, the weight of that room, it would have been better if I was at home, man, because there was a lot of energy in that place. And it was just rough, man, and just having to go home and just think about the moments and everything I'm sure we're going to talk about as we move along. So for me, I thought it was a terrible Super Bowl based on the outcome. I know a lot of people that watched it that care less, like B, who won. You know, they got what B is the NFL fan. Man, we got a great game. Right. Can't believe what I just saw. What an epic comeback. This was fantastic. Brady fans and stands, they were like, oh my God, he really is the best now. And then, you know, there's Atlanta that had a lot of probably grown people crying who lived their lives to see this happen. And the last thing I'll say is that I agree with a lot of people online where they were saying that felt like election night. The bad guy won. Because you know black folks don't like Brady like that, man. Let's just keep it real. Unless you're from Boston. Unless you're Stephen A. Smith. Facts. And you don't want to alienate yourself, so you got to be professional. Facts. Unless you played in the NFL and you appreciate just the ability to play in the NFL. Black people don't like Brady like that, man. And unless you're from Boston.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to Dart Adams. He's from Boston. He grew up in Boston.
New Edition. They're from Boston.
Boston, ride or die. That's his city. The way he felt is what Atlanta and a lot of people here wanted to feel and where a lot of people feel. Besides him, the rest of y'all, man, y'all traitors.
Kid is on one already.
Alrighty, so my overall thoughts on the game, man. It was a good game until the third quarter. Obviously.
Damn. Third quarter, people?
I'm just... Man, look. Look, man. You know... Wait, hold on, man. What is my saying? And I went against my saying, man.
We tried to warn you.
So I feel some type of way. Because if I would have just stuck to my saying, I'd have been, I just drank the Kool-Aid, man. That's what I did. I drank the Kool-Aid. And because I live in Atlanta, I was partially, you know, in favor of the Falcons, man. But you know what, to be honest, with my eye, right, when I'm looking at the talent, the Falcons were more a talented team. Brady is just that special. He's really just that magic. But the Falcons did what they were supposed to do, and they just hell have these boys. See, against New England. They took their foot off the pedal. They should have ran the ball. And I'm going to tell you what cost them the game. That one possession where they were definitely in field goal range. They could have maybe took out. And then they got three straight wins to make that possession fourth and 33 when they were definitely in field goal range. It took field goal range, and it took them out of field goal range. That right there, to me, sealed their fate. Nothing else that happened in the game, that possession right there ended the game for the Falcons, man. And I think that we have to look at Tom Brady, and as much as I don't like him, hey, man, the man's the greatest damn quarterback to ever play. It is just what it is, man. He is just the greatest quarterback to play the game. And I think that if anybody had a question mark or asterisk or whatever the hell you have, this cemented it, man. Five Super Bowls and seven appearances. And you're talking about a historic comeback. You're talking about the only Super Bowl game to go to OT. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a crazy win for them.
Man, let me first start off by saying I thought it was the game was I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. First and foremost, man, let me start it off right. Hats off to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots organization. Robert Kraft, the whole entire organization. I mean, to have a coach and a quarterback to have been together this long and have five championships, I think is incredible. And I was saying prior to the Super Bowl, I couldn't put Brady ahead of Montana because I thought Montana was the GOAT. And, you know, I had to reconsider that. And Brady is now the GOAT. So I will give Brady his props, the props due. And salute to the New England Patriots, man. I mean, they played the entire game and they won. So I will start this podcast off by giving credit where credit is most due to the Patriots fans. Congratulations, because I didn't get a chance to congratulate because I don't know. I'm only friends with one Patriots fan. So and I shouted him out on Facebook. But yeah, you know, congrats to the Patriots. With that being said, I probably won't say anything else about the Patriots for the rest of this podcast. But the game, man, was unreal. As many of you may know that are listening, if you're listening for the first time, you don't know, I am a Falcons fan. I have been a Falcons fan since I've been in the city of Atlanta since 1997. So it's almost 20 years. I was a former season ticket holder at one point in time. So for me, and just to put it in perspective, the year that I moved to Atlanta was the year that they went to the Super Bowl in 1998. So it was following the 97 season. So I remember that 14-2 season, and I remember, you know, how it felt and how electric the city was. It was nothing like what we've experienced in this city for the past 2 weeks. Or not even just these past 2 weeks. I'd probably say the last 2 months, this city has been on fire with this team. And to see it all crash and burn, and especially to crash and burn the way that it did, and we'll get into it a little bit more as the podcast proceeds, to say it was disappointing is an understatement. It's huge. But, you know, there's people to blame, and I will get into that as well. But overall, my thoughts, I think the fans who don't live inside of Boston or fans who weren't fans of Atlanta or New England, I think they like you said, B, they got treated to a very, very good game. But if you were fans of the team in the red and black, Sunday sucked. And subsequently Monday sucked. And the rest of the season is gonna suck. And it's a very, very bitter taste to get out of your mouth. And you know, as you proceed forward, it's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out. So that's my take on that. So let's get into the meat and potatoes. Obviously, this game goes into overtime. Well, first and foremost, the Falcons are up 28-9, if I'm not mistaken. And the Patriots roar back. The interesting thing is, Kennedy, is that the Patriots never led in this game until they scored the game-winning touchdown, which is even more crazy. So I guess the question I have is, and I'll throw it first to you, B. Did the Patriots win or did the Falcons choke this away?
Falcons choke this away. You know, I saw something where I think when it was up 28-3, Falcons only ran the ball five times. Five. With Freeman and Coleman back there running the ball. You ran the ball five times. You're up. Normally when teams are up by that much, especially in the second half, what are they doing to run the clock? Running the ball. Running the ball. Running the ball. You cannot. I don't care. It's not like they have mediocre running backs. That's the crazy thing. It's not like they have me back there running the ball. They had freaking Devontae Freeman, who was having a good game, and Coleman, who was out there running too. It's like the same thing goes back to the Seattle situation. It's like, dude, y'all right there in the goal line. Marshawn Lynch been killing them all game. Give him the freaking ball. That's all y'all had to do was just run the ball. I definitely say Atlanta choked this one away. And the thing about it, like I was telling Ken, like watching it as a Falcons fan, or just as a football fan in general, you can't say like, oh, well, you can't blame it on the refs. You can't say like refs was making questionable calls or refs was making doing this for the Patriots or they was doing that. Patriots just got back in this game because Atlanta was letting it slip away by not running the ball and being the high power offense that you scored 25 straight points and Atlanta could not score anymore against the number one offense in the league. Yeah, Atlanta definitely chugged us away. And then that drive that could have sealed the deal after Julio made that amazing catch. You had two holding penalties and a sack? Man, like, yeah, man, Falcons.
It was two sacks.
Two sacks. Okay, yeah, it was two sacks.
And it was two sacks and a holding,
penalty. Okay, I said two holding penalties and a sack. Okay, yeah, two sacks and a holding penalty. All you had, if they would have kicked a field goal, the game would have been a wrap. Like, at that point, that would put even more pressure for Tom Brady to try to come back and score, you know, three times, you know. But he got both of the two-point conversions, which was nuts. So, yeah, I would say, to answer your question, Atlanta choked this away. I think Atlanta definitely – not taking it away from Patriots, because Patriots, they fall back in it, man. To be down 28-3 and score, you know, 25 unanswered points, that's freaking amazing. But, yeah, Atlanta definitely slipped this away because they had plenty of opportunities to just – put this game really out of reach.
I think honestly it was a bit of both, because the Falcons did enough to get. They didn't hit their season average. They averaged 3.8 points a game and they didn't hit that. If they hit that, which was 34, and it would have did that earlier in the game, they would have won this game. So to me it's a little bit of both, man, because New England needed a lot of things to go their way. They had to play. They got bailed out by Poole a lot on a lot of third downs. But you know what, man? I can't say that New England just outright won it. And I can't say that the Falcons just lost it. I honestly think it was a little bit of both. Golden State or the Falcons, bigger choke artists? In all honesty,
man, you got bells going crazy over there.
I do. Man, it's all, bro.
Put that bad boy on vibrate, man. Put it on vibrate.
I can't. It's the computer. The computer's getting text.
You're on your MacBook.
Yeah.
That drink sound like Little Red Riding Hood or something, man.
Hold on, I'm gonna let it stop.
What about you, Ken? Did New England win this, or was this game choked away by the Falcons?
I mean, it's clearly the Falcons choked this game away. It's the greatest choke in NFL history. I don't care if the Patriots came back from 25. I don't care if they scored 31 points. I don't care if they had to get the two-point conversions. You know, those are things they had to do, and they did them fine. The fact of the matter is that if the Falcons didn't make all of the mistakes that they made, all of that stuff would have been null and void anyway. It just would have looked great on the, you know, in the box score. But when you're at the, 25, 30-yard line after that catch like B was talking about, and I saw it on Twitter, two kneel downs and a kick and it's over. You got Matt Bryant, who's been drilling field goals from 50 yards all season long. And Dan Quinn's excuses that he didn't want his kicker kicking a 50-yard kicking a 50-yarder. How about this basic football 101 is milking the clock? You know, your team is reeling. You have a defense that's gassed. I think I tested this to y'all. I don't know if I did. I think I did. I can't remember. Y'all are validated if not. Is that it was Clemson, Alabama all over again. Mm-hmm. I looked at the time of possession. I was like, oh, they need to get this even or they're going to get tired. And they did. They couldn't stop anybody. And then it was 4th and 3 and you don't blitz. I don't think they blitzed at all that game or at all in the second half. Brady figured out the man defense. They didn't switch up their man. Like, they made so many mistakes, man. And that's what made this painful to watch and for the city, is because this was right. This was a Super Bowl. This was it. There's all you had to do. I had no idea they only ran the ball 5 times.
I didn't know that either.
That just angers me even more. And like I said in my opening, I made Pete. This is not about Brady winning his 5th Super Bowl at all. This has nothing to do with him. I made peace with that. My wife reminded me about that. She said, "You've been saying the Patriots going to win all week."
Ken, you were the only one of the 4 of us that picked New England to win.
I didn't. I went with the city because I wanted to send them some positive vibes. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel good about it. But afterwards, when I was just, you know, after the show, you just kind of talk with her, like just going over it. I was like, yeah, I want them to win, but I just got a feeling. So I made peace with that. I'm cool with that. If everybody want to say he's the GOAT, fine. He's not my GOAT, but whatever. If y'all want to say that, that's fine. But the fact is that when I look at this, all I see is a Falcons team that gave this game away. And I know as a Brady fan, as a Patriot fan, you guys are looking at the comeback and all the plays he made, and you're totally entitled to that. But I think on one hand, you have to acknowledge that the Falcons gave this game away. And I know Brady said, we're not going to give up BS. Y'all kind of gave up. The Falcons just
kept allowed, giving it to you.
Right, exactly. There was the fumble that happened, and that got you guys back in the game. And at that point, it felt winnable to you. You know, but at that point, when they were down 28-3, you can look at it. They gave up. They quit. They just went out there and made plays and kept making plays. And the Falcons just, you know what? I was watching Sunday, this show on Netflix, and this perfectly sums up what happened to the Falcons. The show is called A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Mm.
And that's exactly, it's also a book too, but that's exactly what happened to the Falcons. Tevin Coleman gets hurt. You know, and as soon as he goes out, Freeman comes in, then pick up the blitz, fumble. If Coleman's in there, his rhythm of playing in the game, being able to pick up the blitz packages, he may see that and pick it up. We may have a different outcome. All right, that's one. Okay, fine, cool. We're going to get the ball back. But the fact is they kept throwing the ball. So then the left tackle, I think, ended up his ankle gave out.
Schrader, the right tackle, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the very next play or the play after, you call a passing play with your backup? Huh? What sense does that make? And you're already in field goal range. Why would you do that? And your offensive line, you just lost one of your starters. I think he was a starter.
Yeah, Schrader, like, starter. Starting right tackle.
Dan Quinn and Kyle, just to answer the question, because I don't know what else we have, the Falcons totally blew this game and gave this game away, and they just immortalized Tom Brady.
It's really, and my head is spinning even more now that B gave me that stat, because I didn't know, because I'm going to be honest with you guys and everybody listening. When the game ended, I turned the TV off. And I turned the TV off, so I didn't see any post coverage. I didn't see any SportsCenter highlights. I have yet to see a highlight reel of this game. I have yet to see any, because I don't want to see it. I just don't. I mean, like, so you can call it spoiled, you can call it bitter, you can call it whatever you want. I'm pissed the fuck off. That's what it is. But, and that's just me being a fan. And I'm, Ken, unlike you, I'm glad that I watched it at home, because if I had gone out, I might have smashed, I might have smashed a few cars or burned something. You know, I was just that pissed off. But the Falcons clearly choked this game away. You know, and I think we had talked about this on previous podcasts. and I kept saying, like, this is different from 97. In 97, you know, you had your 98 Super Bowl. That year was different because even though the Falcons went 14-2, really and truly, their Super Bowl was beating Minnesota in Minnesota because they had Randall Cunningham, they had Randy Moss's rookie year, they had Chris Carter, all these guys, and they went up there and won in overtime. And I kept saying that this was different because, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl that year, you know, Denver was the favorite. And to be honest, their Super Bowl really was beating Minnesota. It wasn't, you know, it was like the feel was, okay, well, if, you know, they got a chance, but, you know, Denver's probably going to win, you know, so it was cool. And everybody was like, okay, they'll be okay. But this time, this year, I mean, and now I will say this much. If you had told me, and for those of you listening, you can go back and listen to our podcast when we kicked off the season. None of us picked the Falcons. I think we might have picked the Falcons to make the – there may have been one or two of us that picked the Falcons to make the playoffs, but nobody picked them to make it to the Super Bowl. So the season was a success, but I ain't trying to hear that at this point. You get yourself in a situation where you get a lead, and not just a lead. You have a huge lead. And like Ken said, Julio Jones makes one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life, because that ball that was thrown really should have been picked off. And the defensive back, when he gets up, if you see the camera, he's looking like, yo, I can't believe he caught it, because he couldn't catch it. And so the Falcons have the ball on the 20-yard line, right? I mean, excuse me, 22-yard line. They run it on first down, and I think it's like a 2-yard loss. So second and 12. So my thing is this, and it's about, I want to say about 4 minutes left in the game. At this point, you can either run the ball the next two downs and make, you know, New England burn their timeouts, and then you're probably going to kick a 40-something yard field goal, which Matt Bryant can make in his sleep, and you give Tom Brady the ball back with about 2.5 minutes left with no timeouts left. Now, if Tom Brady can wheel his team back from an 11-point deficit with 2 minutes left in the game, then you deserve to lose, because that would include scoring a touchdown, getting the 2-point conversion, and receiving an onside kick and kicking another game-tying field goal. So, but the Falcons, they took their foot off the gas. It's what we saw is a team in New England that played for 60 minutes, and we saw a team in the Falcons that played for 48 minutes. It's mind-boggling to me that Kyle Shanahan would call two passing plays. And here's the thing, Ken, on that second down where Freeman, well, not the one where Freeman missed the block, but you make a good point about Freeman missing that block. They had just, not only was Freeman out, I mean, Tevin Coleman out, but your right tackle had just got knocked out. So you got two people in to get, well, not so much as Freeman, because we know Freeman can pass block, but your right tackle is in the game. He's probably going to need some help. There's a reason why he's not starting. You know, you got somebody off the bench. And so my thing is, you go back to the 20-yard line or 22-yard line. After that first down, and it was an unsuccessful run, if you're going to throw the ball, do something on the perimeter where Ryan can get on the outside and it's a run-pass option. Not anything, you know, that way if he's running, he can stay in bounds and fall down or whatever, and you're not losing yards. But even after that second down and you took a sack, you're still within field goal range. Then there's a holding penalty. Then there's another sack. Now you're out of field goal range. And so, I mean, like, for the life of me, I don't understand what the hell Kyle Shanahan was doing. You know, maybe it's karma. I mean, he lost his playbook, you know, or got his playbook stolen. You know, maybe he was focused on the 49er job. I don't know what the situation was. I'm glad he's the hell out of town. But I can't really even put into words how pissed off I am at this point at this team and what this coaching staff allowed themselves, because you can't take your foot off the gas. Not when Brady's on the other. Not, I mean, like, if this had happened in week 6, somebody would have gotten fired. There's no doubt in my mind. Like, in a regular season game, this would have gotten you fired. But even in a regular season game, if this happens, you can still move on. You can say, okay, you know what? We got them next week. There is no next week. This is the Super Bowl. And for me, as a Falcons fan, and I'm the only one that's, you know, like I said, season ticket holder here, but I feel like not only did the Falcons let the city down, they let themselves down, but I feel like the Falcons let America down. Because outside of New England and the jock riding bandwagon fans that the Patriots have picked up over the last 10 years, everybody else is rooting for the Falcons. Please understand that. If you're on social media, go check your timeline. Everybody was rooting for the Falcons for whatever reason. Some were rooting because they wanted to see this city win, just like there were a lot of people that were rooting for Cleveland, you know, not so much as for LeBron, but for the city of Cleveland because they hadn't had a championship. And they ran the stats during the game. This city has one major sports championship, and that was the Braves back in the day. So, yeah, they choked, man. I mean, and so that leads me to my next question. Which choke was bigger, Golden State or the Falcons?
The Falcons. The Falcons, man. I just – and maybe I'm prisoner of the moment because they've done this – they've done this before. Didn't they do this against San Francisco?
Yeah.
In the NFC Championship game? Blew a big lead?
It wasn't as big. It was a 17-point lead, and they, you know, they jumped out on, and they came back. San Francisco came back in the second half, and again, that game was at home. But that was just for the NFC Championship game. This is for all the marbles.
I know.
And you go lemon booty like that? Oh, I'm sorry. So who would you say choked? Falcons or the Warriors?
I want to say that I don't know, man. Like it's hard, man, because I think. Like, they're both really, really bad.
I know, right?
You know, you win 73 games and you don't win a title after being up 3-1. And you lose game 7 on your home court.
You fought home court all year.
That's pretty bad, man. Like, maybe if I remove my emotions from the game and really think about this, maybe that is the biggest choke because they were the resounding favorites to win. People were hopeful that Atlanta won. People were surprised that they were up 28-3.
Right.
But I also think that people didn't really believe that they were going to hold that lead. I was one when they were up 21-0 or 21-3. I was telling everybody, it's not over. You still have to play football. I was the only one in the house. Like, look, we still have to play football. It's not over. Let's wait until the clock. Because you just, like FIFO says, man, you can't trust the Georgia team. And you just knew just one or two things to go the wrong way. And this thing could flip, especially with Brady on the other side. Because let's just face it, this is the same Super Bowl they've been here before. But so I'm going to say Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Golden State Warriors. Based on 73-9, you lost game 7 on your home court, tie game. You let Kevin Love shut you down. You
can't. Kyrie hit the three,
one in your eye, you know, and you missed multiple shots after multiple shots after multiple shots. Like, that was your, you had three, not only that, you lost two home games.
Yeah, great point.
So, I'm going to say that, and because nobody really picked the Falcons to win this game.
Right.
Every single prediction I seen had, you know, the Patriots. And the other thing is, once Jason Whitlock picked the Falcons, I knew it was over. he jumped on the Panthers bandwagon last year, and they lost. But anyway, I'm going to remove my emotions because I thought about you too, Kyle. Like, all of you guys were in my head and in my heart, man. Like, for real, man. I couldn't sleep, man. I just felt so bad for y'all as diehard Falcon fans. I can't even imagine the pain that y'all may have felt, man. And it just, it really bothered me a lot that the Falcons did that, not only to the city, but to just y'all, period. And that's why it just, when I see this choke, it's just bad, but oh my God, 31 points. They get 30.
Yeah.
Golden State. I think just the fact that they were about to pull off an historic season. You're up three games. All you had to do is win one game with home court advantage. Just one. And no go. So, yeah, I have to go with the like I said, because this, you know, the Super Bowl is only one game, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, NBA Finals, you have a series. So they had three chances to win one game. Well, like I said, with two of those games being at home, and you didn't pull it off. So I got to go with Golden State.
Honestly, I think Golden State was a bigger choke job. And 3-1. You have multiple games. Like, in football, it's only one game. There's such a finality to football, where basketball, you literally live to fight another day. You know what I'm saying? And the way Golden State lost that, yo, that is historic. Even though it happened this past Sunday with the Super Bowl was historic as well, I can see that happening more so than a team in the NBA Finals coming down, like coming back down 3-1 with the other squad having the only unanimous MVP. I think that's a bigger choke job, in all honesty, man. I can't see it any other way, because we're not questioning Steph Curry like he's the greatest player of all time. You know, I think LeBron is in that conversation. Steph Curry's in the conversation of greatest shooter. But Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to play the game of football. It's just, it's that cutthroat. So it doesn't surprise me, and I don't think that the Falcons, right, like, even if they would have scored 35 points, Brady would have scored 36. It's just one of those things, man. So to me, it's not a bigger choke job of the Falcons. I think Golden State had the bigger choke.
And the reason why I threw this question to you guys, because I had this discussion with one of my homeboys today, and he's a Falcons fan too, and he was trying to convince me that it was the Falcons. And I said, like Ken said, I think you're a prisoner of the moment. You know, I think what Golden State did, I mean, like, Golden, we tend to forget how Golden State steamrolled. I mean, it's like you said, be 73-9. Nobody's ever done that before. And then, you know, they said Steph was hurt, or he wasn't hurt, or whatever the case may be. But nonetheless, you know, you got incredible performances from LeBron, Kyrie, and then Kevin Love, you know, with the defensive stop at the end of the game. So, I think Golden State's choke was bigger. But this one, as a fan of the Falcons, this one stings. I don't know how you get over this, because, and I don't, to be honest, as a fan, we'll get over it, I guess, at some point. As a player, I don't know that you ever get over it. Because I was telling my sons, I'm like, I said this, and I played football in high school and college. There's still a couple of games from college that still, like, just thinking about the team burns me. Like, anytime I think about this team, like, I just, like, I wish, even at 44, I could go out there and put on my old jersey and go against this team, because I hate the fact that we lost, because I felt like we were the better team. In this situation, I think the Falcons, you know, they had it. They were so close. And I mean, like, man, it was people hit me up during the game. Yo, get the gone fishing pictures ready. You know, put this person on the boat. You know, on my Facebook timeline, I have friends who are Falcons fans that went to Houston that spent $3,000-$5,000, you know, to get down there, go to the game and the whole nine. And, you know, their Facebook posts and stuff were very celebratory all the way through the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter happened. And I mean, like, you can't take your foot off the gas, man. And it's very, to say it's unfortunate, it sucks, man. I mean, I tip my hats to, you know, the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, because they got it done. They kept playing. The Falcons, they learned the hard way. So I guess my last question on this, man, we know, relatively speaking, that New England's going to be, you know, in poised position to make another run next year. This Falcons team, from what I can tell, and keep in mind, this Falcons team did all of this without their number one shutdown corner, Desmond Trufant. And they lost Claiborne, the defensive end, in the Seattle game. He'll be back, and they'll be back. And they're relatively young. They have a lot of players on this team, you know, in their first and second year. They started three rookies on the defensive side of the ball. You know, so conventional wisdom tells us that they, you know, should be good next year. What's next for the Falcons, in your opinion?
What's next for the Falcons, man? I definitely think they're going to be all right because that defense is young. Matt Ryan ain't going nowhere. And I think what Matt Ryan proved was that he can get to the big game. I don't think Matt Ryan choked all that much, even though he shouldn't have took that sack. But I think they're in prime position, just like Seattle a couple years ago, to go to back-to-back Super Bowls. Because when you look at the division, I don't think Carolina's coming back. Main reason, their leader is a whiny baby. It's just the Saints. I don't know what they're going to do this offseason. I think their run is over. The only team we really got to worry about is Tampa Bay, and I don't think they're going to be ready to win the division. And we have a good record like I think we are, because those other two teams, I think they're going to be pretty sorry. We should have a first round. I think we get back to the Super Bowl, and hopefully we win it. I'm not saying we're going to win it. I don't know, but I'm not trusting the team. So that's that. I'm never making that mistake again. But I definitely think that they need to get their offensive coordinator situation to take – we heard Ron Kelly. Now we're – of those two guys are the best fit for the job. If I had any say, I'm taking North Turner. Turner is a proven commodity in the NFL. Look what he did with Sam Bradford. He made Sam Bradford look like a true number one pick, man. Like, Norv Turner is that guy. I think he can take what Shanahan has, either expand on it or keep it at where it's at. I think Chip Kelly would be a mistake, and I'm not sure how I feel about Sarkisian right now. Wasn't this the guy that was drinking on the job? Like, come on, man. Like, how are you going to hire that guy? I would like to remove. I just lost, you know. And then he won't be in Atlanta, man. Like, you know, we get lit out here. So I don't know. I will go North Turner. But look, everything is in place for the Falcons, man. They got the right GM. They have a great owner. They have an elite quarterback. Like, I don't think it's all doom and gloom from this point. It's just paying the right guys, making the right moves. And I think us with the organization, because I've always had confidence in Dimitroff. Now you pair that with Dan Quinn, I think we have a winning pair. So I'm excited for the Falcons to continuously be great, at least to have a Super Bowl run for at least the next 2-3 years.
I don't know, man. Didn't they hire someone very questionable on the offensive coordinator?
Steve Sarkisian from just this afternoon. They hired Steve Sarkisian, the former
another loser.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Someone very questionable.
No, correction. A drunk loser.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like now you have to have a whole new offense. You know.
Well, now here's what they said. Dan Quinn released a statement. I think he did a press conference this afternoon. He said that head coach Dan Quinn said that one of the reasons why they hired Sarkisian was that he was very familiar with the terminology of the offense that Shanahan ran, and that they're not going to change the terminology or anything like that. They're going to keep the same stuff that they've been doing. So he just has to be up to speed with it. So, you know, so it's not going to be a lot of change.
I can't trust anything Dan Quinn says anymore.
They got to show him.
Yeah.
They got to show him. And I mean, how bad is Dan Quinn? He was on the losing end of a situation where Pete Carroll decides to go for, because Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator when they played the Patriots, and Pete Carroll decides to throw on the 1-yard line and it gets picked off and they lose to New England. And then he blows a lead like this, he's got to feel like shit.
Well, he's 0-2, and if you think about it, if you really think about this, and this is why I came to the conclusion that night that Brady is the luckiest Super Bowl winning quarterback of all time.
Got to be.
Because he should have two more losses. He should be 3-4. He should be 3-4. And I know a counter argument could be made about the two catches that New York got. But I'm just talking about what has happened and the last two Super Bowls they played with. He should be 3. Kyle, it comes down to 3 should have been called running plays.
Yeah.
3 running plays, maybe 4 if Marshawn Lynch don't get in on that second down. 4 running plays, and he could realistically be 3-4. 3-4. Mm. And it's, if you really think about it, it took a poor call by Pete Carroll for him to win number 4. Brady had nothing to do with that outside of the comeback, which was happened against a limping Seattle defense. Mm. But nevertheless, he was on the sideline. He thought it was over then too. So it took that play. It took an incredible catch by Julian Edelman. That was one hell of a catch. Oh, yeah,
that was sweet.
I would give him all the props for that. That was a hell of a catch.
That was sweet.
By him, but to help, you know, add on to it. But realistically, 3, you know, 2 running plays, and they lose that. It just took a meltdown by the Falcons. So, you know, a series of unfortunate events for both teams. He's the luckiest Super Bowl winning quarterback of all time. He hasn't blown in. You were down 28-3. That's why he's not the GOAT to me, man. I don't care what anybody say. He could be second best. Montana had no issues in the Super Bowl.
4-0.
And he didn't need luck to win. He didn't need luck to win. And that's irrefutable. That's irrefutable, dog. And so, you know, look, I'm not going to argue with people about it. Like I said, coming into the game, he was already universally recognized as greatest quarterback of all time among a lot of people. He's just not my greatest quarterback of all time. When people really take their blinders off and really look at it and evaluate it. But 5 is 5. And and coming back from 25 points is coming back from 25 points. You need help. You need a lot of help. Yeah. They still have to go make the plays. But the fact is, you were down 25 points and you threw a pick 6.
Oh, come yeah, on, yeah. Troy, so, man.
I'm getting mad all over
that, that Falcon and you know what? That Falcon defense, like you said, Ken, that Falcon defense was spent, but I will give them props, man. They were on the field for 90-plus plays, and I don't give a damn who you are. If you're on the field for 90 plays, you're not. It ain't gonna be good for you in the end. But, you know, they hit Brady. They harassed him. Grady Jarrett had 3 sacks in the Super Bowl. I don't think Grady Jarrett had 3 sacks all season. And
Brady's head was down, man.
Of course, man. He was down.
When his head gets down, Brady is quit. Brady's giving up. Brady's sulking.
A pick 6. I mean, like, it was – everything was there, man, and you just – choked it away. And it's, oh man, it's crazy.
But to answer the question, B, were you done?
I was done.
All right, look, I thought about this. I think the Falcons are going to win it all next year. I'm going to say it right now.
Even with the offensive coordinator?
Look, Brady's had different offensive coordinators, right? If we believe, you know, and if there's a system that they have in place that's working,
it's just about calling plays.
Yeah, they have a young defense. They have a young defense. They got a lot of experience.
But if it's about calling plays, why the fuck did we run the ball? Why did we run the ball?
I'll tell you why, Kyle. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. I'll tell you what happened. Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan wanted to beat Belichick.
I'm sorry.
They wanted to be the reasons why they won that game. So if any of those two pass plays work, then They were, oh man, he stayed aggressive.
And you know what? I'm with you, and I agree 1,000%. I think the problem is that
damn game,
you all know. you have to do is just play the mathematics. That's all you have to do. You ain't got to be a hero. Just play the mathematics.
You're a hero when the game is over.
Exactly.
And that's it. It's football 101. It's football 101. You jumped out 28-3. You know, everybody watching the game know the Patriots coming back. We knew that Falcons defense wasn't great. You were spotted 25 points.
And your defense like was falling. You
know, just math.
Just all you had to do is do the math. I mean, like, that's crazy to me. I won't go as far as saying that they'll be. I think they should be good next year. The schedule is very favorable for them to be good. Because this year the Falcons had statistically the hardest schedule. And they still came out 11-5 and, you know, made the run that they had. Maybe it's my emotions talking, but I could see the Falcons making the playoffs, but Super Bowl, nah. Now in 2019, yeah, but it's that. And here's the thing, and it's one thing I keep, and I was telling my son this the other night. The most difficult thing there is about football, particularly on this level, is that you don't get a chance to start over. Like, I mean, like, you don't get a chance to pick up where you left off.
Right.
So everybody starts over. Now, we just saw NBA Finals last summer, where LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love won a championship, and they brought their same team back. So they're at the very least, they're odds on favorite to get back to the finals again. We saw Golden State team, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond. They went and got Kevin Durant. So they're the odds on favorite to get back. So you know, those teams like that, especially in that league, is really just I mean, we talk about it all the time. Not that the regular season doesn't matter, but they are playing for the playoffs. They're not, you know, and they're playing not to get hurt. But in the NFL, man, so much stuff happens. You have free agency. You have guys getting hurt. You have guys getting cut. I mean, we saw a very good and talented Cam Newton-led Carolina Panthers squad. And then this past year, you know, the offensive line was decimated with injuries. Cam wasn't black, you know, and he was... Cam wasn't black no more. He was taking PR lessons, and his quarterback rating went down. I mean, like, all kind, like, think about it, Cam. All kind of shit happened between the Super Bowl and the end of this season. Like, that ain't even the same Carolina team that we saw. Now, obviously, one of the biggest things that happened to Carolina was that they let the all-world cornerback go. You know, they cut Josh Norman. But I'd like to think, Ken and B, that the Falcons could bounce back. They certainly have enough talent. They're young and they're, you know, on the rise. I'm just in my feelings, man. I'm like the girlfriend now. I don't want to get hurt. My feelings is hurt. My feelings is hurt, y'all. I ain't going front. So I'm gonna be very pessimistic. So when y'all hit me up on Twitter and say, hey man, the Falcons are looking good this season, I'm gonna be like, hey man, just talk to me in the playoffs. Cause I have to, and just for you, for those of you listening who don't live inside the city of Atlanta, it was a lot, man. It was a lot of sad faces in a whole bunch of places Monday morning. I mean, like, when I walked into my office building, when I say everybody that I saw had the same look on their face, black, white, Puerto Rican, Italian, whatever. Everybody had the same look on their face. Everybody was just like, it's like it was in a fog. And then, like Ken said, like, in a lot of ways, it felt like the election, man. But this one was personal because you had it. You had it, you know. So I'd like to think that the Falcons are going to be able, but I'm going to need y'all to convince me otherwise. Because
I want to amend my comments by saying, let me see what happens in the offseason also. Because Devontae Freeman want to get paid,
mm-hmm.
and he's part of that. Like, I think they need him to make – it helps to have him in that offense. So yeah, I want to see what happens with that. And you know, Matt Ryan is going to come back white. So we don't have to worry about him switching teams. that was funny, Kyle. But so I think we'll be fine there. And you know, he's good friends with Brady. So, you know, that's going for him as well. And like I say, he's very Brady-like. So it's really going to be up to – so, and I think that they can – look, they learned from the year before, right, when they lost it, a lot of close games, made mistakes, this, that, and the other. So if they can just take it to the next step – Super Bowl hangover is real. We've seen
that. Yeah, it is. It is. It truly so is.
That could very well play into this. So we'll find out. But if Matt Ryan adopts Brady's mindset, where Brady is like, I'm going back. If Matt Ryan wants to be considered elite, then no matter what happened, he's going to come back. Because Brady has lost Super Bowls. He's lost mm-hmm. two. And he's came back the very next year. So I would if Matt Ryan is that guy, there won't be a Super Bowl hangout. He's more of a quarterback than, you know, Cam Newton really is. So I think he'll be fine.
And
so.
And it also goes to show you too, like, you know, we see them playing. You know, usually when you see a team playing a Super Bowl, you think like, oh yeah, they'll be back. And in most cases, we've seen teams don't mm-hmm. return back to Super Bowls, man, which is. It's tough. That's why you have to seize this moment, because you never know, Ken. We might not see Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl again. You know what I'm saying? He might sniff a divisional or NFC championship game. He might not get back there. You know,
it's like you said, B, it's a lot in the air. I mean, you know, God forbid what happens if your, you know, running back tears an ACL or your number one receiver, you know, breaks his leg or your franchise quarterback gets caught fighting dogs.
You never know, man. I mean, you know, you know, people say it like it's just so easy, but you know, folks like us who've played sports and stuff, you know, it's tough grinding through a whole season and then going through a playoff and then getting back to the championship game again. It's tough. It's not a walk in the park. It's really not.
I had a coach in college, Coach George Wheeler, God rest his soul. He would always say, he said, starting over ain't ever easy. And that is so true. But one thing that's encouraging, I read a quote from Falcons free safety, Keanu Neal, who's a rookie. He said, basically, I wasn't good enough. He said, we didn't win, so I wasn't good enough. We weren't good enough. And he said, it's left a bitter taste in my mouth. He said, I got to get this taste out of my mouth. He said, when we get back to Atlanta, he said, I'm back in the gym on Tuesday. He's like, I'm not taking any time off.
And that's the other thing. Think about on that last drive. How many times was the ball tipped in the air?
Oh, my God.
At least three times. And each time they drop, every time the ball dropped, I see the Falcon on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, like, even the play that Brady threw to Martellus Bennett before they scored in overtime, Vic Beasley got a hand on it. But if he put two hands up, he probably could have caught it. I mean, just imagine picking off Brady in that instance right there, how the momentum would have shifted. You get the touchback, you get the ball back, and you're going back the other way. And if you kick a field goal, you win.
That's why they ran it on the next possession.
Exactly. And so I'm hopeful. But my feelings are too hurt for me to believe that the Falcons gonna do anything else. And I feel bad for the city, man. You know, I feel bad for fans like myself. I feel bad for fans who've been here a lot longer than me and have seen a lot worse. But fans like me who've been through the Vic years, the highs and lows of that, the highs were very high. You know, but when he got indicted, boy, the lows were low, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Matt Ryan era, it was, you know, it's been good these last
few years. Ups and downs.
Yeah, it's been ups and downs. I mean, keep in mind, this Falcons organization up until about 4 years ago had never won back-to-back seasons. That's crazy to me. You have an organization that's been in existence since 1966, and up until I think it was 5 years ago, they had never had back-to-back winning seasons. So, you know, I'm almost certain the Patriots will at the very least be back in the mix. I mean, hell, they play in the AFC East, so they're going to win that division anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Pittsburgh should be back, over in the NFC. I mean, you got Dallas, when those young boys get it together, they're going to be a problem. You never know what the hell Eli and crew are going to do.
And Rodgers.
Rodgers is going to reload. And then here in the NFC South where the Falcons are, you got to figure that, maybe Cam gets black this year and Cam comes back. And, Breeze, you can't count him out. Jameis, they got a nice squad down in Tampa. They were
so maybe I jumped the gun.
You know what? If I had Ken, honestly, if I had to pick a division winner from the NFC South next season, I'm picking Tampa right now.
Yeah,
because those boys are they just don't know how to win. And to be honest, I think they were one game away from making the playoffs. So, and if they had gotten in the playoffs, I don't know if you necessarily wanted to see Jameis and those boys. And Jameis is slowly but surely coming on. If he gets his turnovers down, he's gonna be a really good quarterback. But yeah, man, that's the Super Bowl wrap up. We want to get into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame inductees were announced this past weekend, and one huge omission or person who did not make the Hall of Fame, Terrell Owens, man. B, why are they holding T.O. out, man?
Man, this is crazy. This is a prime example of when the media, when them guys don't like you, they don't like you. Because it is really no excuse that this dude should have been the first ballot Hall of Famer, man. Like, it's just off his numbers alone. And you want to talk about locker room. So basically, pretty much based on the Hall of Fame standards, Calvin Johnson gonna be a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the locker room. Larry Fitzgerald gonna be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Even though I like Larry Fitzgerald, but I'm just saying. But like, their numbers do not stick out like a sore thumb like Terrell Owens. You know, and from what teammates and guys that play with him, they say, hey, look, rather what he do in the locker room, but when he's out there in that field, he's giving 150% out there, and that's a dude you want going to war with you out in the football field. Teammates that didn't like him or liked him said this, the exact same thing about him. So there's no question you can't deny the dude's play. You know, he's out there to play ball. And the fact that his numbers are like this and he, still got to wait. And granted, you had other great receivers as in Chris Carter and Lynn Swann. Didn't he wait like 6-7 years before he was?
Swann waited.
So, that's a great receiver. So, was Marvin Harrison the first ballot or what?
They made Marvin wait too.
That's what I'm saying.
Marvin had other issues.
Yeah, I think the only first ballot I could think of off the top of my head was Jerry Rice. That was as far as receivers. I think it says only 5 receivers that's been first ballot Hall of Famers. But I know Jerry Rice was one of them. But yeah, if they just doing this whole weight game with T.O., I think his number sticks out far enough to where he at least should be this year a second ballot Hall of Famer, if not a first ballot. So now, got to see if he's going to be a third ballot Hall of Famer or a fourth ballot. So it's crazy, man. The process, I don't know. I'm with Shannon Sharp where, you got to get more guys, guys that are in the Hall of Fame like him or Chris Carter, other guys that know what it takes to have Hall of Famer credentials, kind of have a say-so, like a lot of them should. So, yeah, it's tripped out, man, how T.O. is not in Hall of Famer, man. Like, when I saw that tweet, my boy texted me like, man, T.O. didn't get in. I was like, wait a minute, you ain't talking about a club. You talking about like a club or something to get in? You ain't talking about the Hall of Fame, right? He was like, yeah, man. Then I saw his tweet that T.O. tweeted. I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy, but you let a kicker get in before T.O.? Granted, the kicker, what's his name, Anderson? The old dude.
Boy, Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, he laid it down, but damn, you going to put a kicker over T.O.? Come on, man, stop.
Here's the thing, B, when you were talking, I pulled up his stats. 15,934 career receiving yards are second in NFL history. His 153 touchdowns are third, so he is the second best. He's the second best statistically, the second best receiver of all time. And he's waiting,
right?
Come on, son.
Yeah, man, that's I'm speechless. This shows like the NFL really don't like you all because of quote unquote. And then even teammates said like even guys who was in the locker room, he was like, T.O. didn't really say nothing. He said T.O. didn't say nothing to you unless you said something to him. And then if you said something to him and you didn't like what T.O. said back to you, that's your problem. He said, but most time, they said T.O. was just in the locker room, quiet to himself, until someone messed with him. So I don't know, man. When the media paints you as that villain, they'll stick with it and run it to the ground, like for real.
And that's what I think it is, B. I think that the media has a narrative.
Yep.
From people who were upset by T.O.'s replies, because we're living in an America where everybody's sensitive.
Yep.
And you know, they said he tore those teams apart. And you know, if you have people coming out speaking up for T.O., talking about what really went on in the locker room, I think that needs to be taken into consideration. So I knew it. Actually, I'll take that back. I was shocked that he didn't get in. I was shocked that he didn't get in. But what I will say is that I think T.O. should chill out a bit and wait. Because as you highlighted, B, there are a lot of great wide receivers that had to wait 5-6 years to get in. Chris Carter, 6 years? He was talking about it today.
So pretty much Randy Moss not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer then.
Well, that was my next question. If T.O. had to wait, if Marvin Harrison had to wait, do you think Moss is not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think he is.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All because he mooned the Green Bay Packers and the precious Brett Favre Packers. You know how they treated Brett Favre? He was the golden boy for a minute too. All because he pulled on his pants and mooned, not literally put on his pants.
Right.
All because he mooned the fans and all straight cash, homie. All that stuff. Watch. He's gonna be a second. I give him second ballot. He's not gonna be a first ballot.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying he was.
No. I said he wasn't. He's not gonna be a first ballot. At this rate, at the way they treat these receivers, no, he's not gonna be a first ballot Hall of Famer, Randy Moss. Nope.
You know, I think Moss will get in, and I think Moss's relationship with the media wasn't as contentious as T.O.'s. And then Moss is a member of the media now. I think that helps, even though he's not, you know, it ain't like he out there kissing nobody's ass. But I think Moss, you know, with him being on Fox and whatnot. Well, no, he's not on Fox. Is he on Fox? He's on ESPN. I'm sorry. Well, he started off on Fox and then going to ESPN. I think that'll bode well for him. It's unfortunate, man, because I think it's so political and I wonder, Ken, I didn't realize this, and this is going to make you laugh. Do you know that Jason Whitlock has a Hall of Fame vote? I didn't know that. So it's like you have people who have these votes, and some of them clearly have agendas. And if they don't like a player, then he's not getting in. I mean,
he's the clown of all clowns.
And so here's the thing. Like if you saw the final balance, like one of the guys that got in this year was Kenny Easley, former safety for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I remember Kenny Easley when I was coming up. Kenny Easley was a beast. But, you know, the way that they vote, it's almost like they say, okay, well, if we put one guy on this position in, then anybody else that played that position doesn't get in. And I say that because Kenny Easley got in, but John Lynch and Brian Dawkins didn't get in. So it's like, you know, I guess they operate under the premise of, if we pick one safety, we're not going to pick three, you know. And I think Lynch and Dawkins are both worthy of getting in. And I think they'll get in eventually. When they get in, I don't know. But to me, a guy like T.O. with those stats, I mean, if T.O. if he played, you know, I don't want to say play by the rules, but if he, you know, did what he was supposed to do as far as media requests and all stuff like that, if he wasn't doing sit-ups in his driveway. But I've never heard a teammate say anything bad about T.O. Like B said, all the stuff I've ever heard was that he's been a really, really good teammate. I mean, you saw him get on there and cry on TV for Tony Romo when Tony Romo was sorry. I mean, who else would do that? Ain't nobody else doing that for Tony Romo. So, yeah, man, T.O., I think, should have already been in, and they might make his ass wait another year. But Moss, I think Moss gets in. But I think at this point, Ken and B, I think they're really trying to stick it. Because remember, last year T.O. didn't get in, and he criticized Marvin Harrison for getting. Now keep in mind, Marvin Harrison's statistics don't stack up to T.O.'s. And he had some, you know, negative things to say about Marvin Harrison. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man.
And that's why T.O. should just chill out, because he's kind of validating the reasons why they're not letting him in, mm-hmm. by saying, oh, it's a flawed process. You're being outspoken and critical of something that we all know is flawed. And Chris Carter basically flip-flopped today, because I guess he found out that, you know, locker room is part of it. I think they just made that up or put it out there. I don't know. It just came out of nowhere, because nobody mm-hmm. was arguing that point earlier when this first came up, before it was announced that he wasn't going to get in. So, you know, for me, I don't think Randy's going to get in because, you know, here's a guy that said he practiced or plays when he want to play or something like that. The mooning incident. And for, I don't know what happened in New England, but they got rid of him and he left there with a negative reputation, but we don't know what happened. They never really told us what happened in New England.
The only thing I remember happening in New England, Ken, was that Moss started talking publicly about wanting a contract extension. And you know, in New England, you don't do that. You don't talk money. New England, some of New England's players don't even talk to the media, period, because that they run a tight ship up there. So that kind of But you're right. It was real strange. I mean, they got rid of him quick too.
Yeah, and nobody besides, okay, so yeah, you're right about that. But that's it. But the way they talk about his career in New England, they make it appear as if they got rid of him because he turned back into the old Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. So it was, he just got out of character. He wasn't the quote unquote Patriots way. So his reputation, I think, is stinging from that. I think they'll make him wait. But if I was T.O. man, I would just chill out. Because once you get in, they can't kick you out. Nope. I don't think. But once you in, you in. And that's it. And then everybody's arguing whether or not you should have been in. Or they may not argue about it at all because you're already in. And you're going to get in. They can't keep you out forever, right? Because the stats are just too great. And for me, personally, I loved everything about T.O. I loved when he walked to the middle of the field in Dallas. It made football exciting, man. I loved it. But I think Randy, they'll make Randy wait. I hope not, but we'll see.
I hope not either. I think it's a travesty that they're making T.O. wait. But because you can't, I mean, ultimately, and I know some people make it, well, you know, it's people who beat women and drug dealers and all kind of people in the hall. I mean, they base that on their what they did on the field. So what if you base your decision to bring T.O. into the Hall of Fame on what he did on the field? It's not even a question. I read you his stats. So that can't be questioned. His record's impeccable.
T.O. is the second best wide receiver to ever play the game. I do not understand how he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. The problem is that these writers and all of this stuff, they want to be relevant, man. And that's the reason why they're not voting this guy. Oh, well, he wasn't good in the lock. What the hell does that? Like, what statistic is that? Where do they measure locker room at? I've never seen that in the record book. So how in the hell are you using that to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, which is primarily based off of stats? Mm-hmm. Statistically, this guy's the second best wide receiver, man. What the hell are we doing? What kind of society are we living in where you put up numbers, but we're not going to enshrine you because we ain't like your attitude? Man, get the hell. You wasn't even in this locker room.
You sounding just like I was sounding. It's crazy. Man,
yo. It's blasphemy. I agree with T.O. What type of credibility does the Hall of Fame have now? Like, right. He's the second greatest wide receiver without question. You have, this is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm more of a Moss guy. I like Moss more than T.O. Moss should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he shouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer if T.O.'s not a first ballot Hall of Famer. So all of this, man, look, to me, there's guys that you have to question. Should this guy be in the Hall of Fame? Because this is Skip Bayless's whole ideology to break down the Hall of Fame. Do I have to even question? Well, what the hell do you have to question about T.O. on the field? What is there to question? When he was older, yeah, did he have a little bit of the drops? Yeah. Was he the best hands catcher? Yeah, no. But the man got touchdown. The man got yards. The man played on one leg in the Super Bowl and should have been the MVP if they would have won. What are we talking about here, man? Oh, man. I there's certain sports topics, you know, Kobe, LeBron, that just frustrate the hell out of me sometimes. This is one of them. And in all honesty, I really don't want to talk about it anymore because because what the fuck is there to talk about, man? This first ballot Hall of Fame, that's it. That's it. Right. There's nothing to talk about. Like, T.O. should have been in. Give the man the jacket, man. And Randy Moss, too. Randy Moss is a top five wide receiver to ever play the game. To me, look, Hall of Fame should be fairly simple. If you are top 10, and the majority, especially in the NFL, if you're top 10 in your position's statistical categories, if wide receivers have what? Like, touchdowns, receiving yards, catches. In two out of them three, you top 10, you're automatically a Hall of Famer. What like, there's nothing to talk about. Oh, well, this, that. Man, get out of here, bro. Get out of here. Because if we're going to talk about off the field issues and stuff, how the hell is Michael Irvin a damn Hall of Famer? How is Lawrence Taylor a Hall of Famer? How? So get, look, man, I look, if we bring this up on this sports show again, I'm not talking about it. I will forfeit my goal.
And unfortunately, there's no more. I mean, other than the combine and the draft, I mean, there's not really a lot of football to talk. I mean, we'll have stuff to talk about. So we definitely appreciate you guys for listening to the Dead End Sports Podcast. Obviously, there will be more and more football talk as we go forward. But it's time to wrap up this podcast. As I mentioned at the top, we are Dead End Sports, the place where sports opinions collide. If you haven't done so, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got a ton of videos on there, a lot of great content. More content to come. Go to youtube.com/deadendsports. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine. So with our final closing thoughts, B, I'll throw it to you. You got any closing thoughts for us tonight?
Just, you know, like I think I said earlier today, I think the Super Bowl is always great when you have a great Super Bowl game, you know, to kind of finish off, to put an exclamation point on this NFL season. You know, it's always bad when you have a great NFL season, good playoffs, and then it just kind of finished off in a dud. I'm glad that we had a game that literally had us on the edge of our feet. History making, first time ever going to overtime. You know, I thought it was great. You know, Tom Brady won his fifth, being the only QB quarterback to have, you know, five Super Bowl rings, get five titles, playing his seventh Super Bowl. So yeah, I think it's a great way, you know, to finish out the season, man. It sucks. I'm looking forward to fantasy football. I know I always have mixed feelings when it's like, when I lose, I'm like, ah, but you know, it's like when it comes back again, you like, oh, I'm itching again. You can't wait to draft and training camp and everything. So, you know, I hope we have a free agency and off season that can kind of get us excited for the next upcoming NFL season. So, you know, other than that, hey, I just salute the NFL for giving us a great game to finish off the seasons. And I hope 2017 to be even just as crazy, if not crazier.
No doubt. What about you, Ken?
I'll say this. I will never forgive Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan for what they did, for losing this game that was right there. Provided that Bryant makes that kick, which more than likely probably will have.
Right.
I would never, and I said this to Jay Forrest on Twitter, I will never forgive them for that, because they just let a whole city down. And the only way they will be forgiven is if they win a Super Bowl. They got to make it. Well, Kyle, get him up out of here. We glad he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
But Quinn, you got to make this up, bro. Mm-hmm. You on the hot seat. You on the hot seat as soon as that game was over.
Yes, sir.
Because we're gonna get you up out of here next.
Oh man, my final thought, man. First and foremost, shout out to the Super Bowl for recognizing the greats from HBCU's historically black colleges. They did an acknowledgement of the 28 players that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that are from HBCUs, one of which was my uncle, Harry Carson, who played at the same school that I played at, South Carolina State University. So it felt good to see all of the HBCU alums who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That was great to see. But my final thought is celebration. When you win, teams normally decide to go to the White House to visit the president. It has been stated that two New England Patriots thus far, cornerback Devin McCourty and tight end Bennett, which Bennett is Martellus Bennett. They decided that they are not going to the White House to visit the current president. And I know a lot of times people get on social media and decide to say whatever they feel, but I saw some tweets. I don't know, Ken, if you guys saw these tweets. Somebody tweeted to Devin McCourty, "Go back to the cotton field, you N-word." And these are Patriots fans.
Boston is a racist city.
So here's my little rant to you all. It is the option. It's not a tradition. It is the option of a team to visit the White House. There's no mandate that you have to go. And for those of you who want to be critical of Devin McCourty and Martellus Bennett for not going, keep in mind that a certain quarterback, number 12, the guy that you guys referred to as the greatest quarterback of all time, decided that he did not want to go see Barack Obama when he was in office. So when you run the story about McCourty and Martellus Bennett not going, don't forget that Captain America couldn't go see Barack. That's going to do it for us, for Ken, for B, for FIFO. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Thanks again for checking out another edition of Dead End Sports. Catch you guys next time. Peace.